Yo, what up, y'all? It's Kareem, aka Keys, back with another episode of Let's Talk Music. I know it's been a while. I'm really got my hands in a lot of things, y'all. But I promise you, it's all going to make sense in the next few days, maybe. I don't know. But nonetheless, I'm here today. I've shown up, and I can guarantee you that today's episode is going to be well worth the hiatus for me, or accepting my hiatus, because I brought a very special guest, and I'm going to let my guests introduce themselves. But before I dive into the interview between me and said person, I want to give my announcements, okay? I still have my quiz and my bio on Instagram, the release readiness quiz. It's something that you should definitely take if you intend on releasing new music, because it's going to make sure that you don't mess up. The questions that I ask on the quiz are very specific, because everything that's mentioned on it is very important. And if you're missing anything, it could jeopardize the success of your project. And you don't want to do that, especially when you don't have to. So go to my bio on Instagram, click the link, take the quiz. Only takes a few minutes. Now, the next announcement that I have is something new. I think you're going to like it. I know you're going to like it. How about that? I just recently decided that I really want to focus more on the community, because I love you guys and I want to make sure that I'm there for you. So I came up with this idea, and it's been festering in my mind for so freaking long, and I'm so glad that I finally acted on it. But I wanted to offer a membership club, not just any old ordinary membership club. This is going to be called the Zero to Indiepreneur Club. It is only for the serious and the most passionate artists that want to take their music and turn it into legitimate revenue that they can use. This group is for people who want to make music a career and not a hobby. You want to be around like-minded people who have the same mentality as you. You want to be in an environment where you're going to get the best education that you can in terms of this business. And that's what this community is about. One, it's about, of course, being around like-minded individuals such as yourself. But the other factor to it is the learning factor. Every week, I'm going to drop off a success pack. Inside the success pack is going to be a combination of different tools and resources and lessons that you can utilize on whatever topic it is for that week. I'm going to put my best interviews in there, you know, with me and other industry professionals. You know, you're going to get access to the Discord, which is the heart of our community. You'll be able to just message anybody in the group if with anything, and I highly encourage it. No matter how silly you think your question is, ask in the group chat. Now, of course, I can't build a community on my own. I need you all. So the first 30 people that join the Zero to Indiepreneur Club are going to be founding members. What does that mean? Well, you're my day ones, so you can expect that I'm going to take care of you in numerous ways. Now, if you're interested in joining the membership program or taking the quiz, I'm going to drop both of those links inside of the description of this podcast. Make sure you check these things out, because these are both excellent resources to help you elevate yourself. Now, without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and let my guests introduce themselves as we talk about ways that you can dominate the new music industry. Hope you enjoy.
My name is Joel Andrew. I'm the president of CD Baby. CD Baby is a music distribution company that focuses purely on independent musicians. We work with about a million artists. We distribute all their content, get you up to places like Spotify, help you monetize better at YouTube. And we have a lot of artist promotional tools and all that sort of stuff that maybe we'll talk about later. But I've been at CD Baby since 2003. Started in the warehouse. I originally connected with CD Baby because I was an independent musician, starving touring musician myself, lived on the road, and in between tours, I'd go work at CD Baby. And then just kind of as CD Baby grew from some small little punk rock warehouse that sold its CDs on the internet, started doing iTunes and Spotify and all the different things since it's really started in 98. But yeah, since I was been there in 2003, as the company grew, so did my professional abilities. And mm-hmm. so I got to move up from the warehouse to customer service, talking with artists, eventually doing business development and kind of doing those licenses with places like Spotify. And then, let's see here, finished my law degree while working at CD Baby. I actually finished my undergrad, going back to community college and all that stuff while working at the company. And then last year in October, I took over the president role. So that's who I am. CD Baby is my mother. I've been there for a really long time. I'm still an independent musician.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, big time. I can't wait CD to start Baby? Playing. Yeah, I got stuff. My last album came up at the end of 2019. So like all the other musicians, I struggled through 2020 trying to figure out what to do navigate. And why. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, man, I don't know. We kept our practice space all through the pandemic, though. We never went, but
yeah,
we kept it. And can't wait to get back, that's for sure.
Yeah. So how exactly was CD Baby born? I'm not sure if you already mentioned that.
Yeah. So the story is, so in 1998, the founder, this guy named Derek Sivers, he was also a touring independent musician, quite successful playing the college circuit. He was trying to get a CD in a local, just kind of retail CD store. For most of your listeners, you know, maybe they don't know what that is or never really experienced those, but they, you know, at least in Portland, they were everywhere. So he wanted to get a CD up. I guess this was in Woodstock, New York when he first started. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Tried to get a CD in the local CD store. They said, we need you to have a distributor. So even though he was successful as an independent musician, touring, selling CDs, all that stuff, he still needed some sort of bureaucratic middle person in order to be able to get his CD at the local just mom and pop CD store.
Gotcha.
So he figured out how to start his own distribution company. This was in 98. So everybody was, the dot-com craze was just starting.
Okay.
So he figured out, well, I can make a distribution company on the internet. And so that's ultimately how CD Baby started. Was he was really just trying to create a distributor so he could get a CD at the local CD store. But he sold a CD on the website, and his network was all a bunch of other independent musicians who said, hey, that's tight that you're selling your CD on the internet. Can mm-hmm. I too? Can you get me doing that? This was before Wix. This was before anything, you know, any of that.
Yeah.
Those kind of services where you could just make your own website. So yeah, he did that. That was the start of CD Baby. It was basically out of his closet, just selling his and his friends' CDs, and just kept growing and growing and great press. It was a massive solution for independent musicians back in the day. I mean, it was really hard to sell your CD other than in person as an independent musician.
Right.
And he changed all that. And that's how it started back in 98.
Yeah. And my, how much it's grown since then. I mean, I take a look at the website now and you all are just like a one-stop shop for not just distribution, but tools that are going to make that indie artist far more well-versed in what they're trying to do. And that's honestly amazing. Now I'm like, what does it actually mean to be independent? I think that's a very important thing to address.
Yeah. So some context for the viewers is that this recent Media report, so this is one of the big trade journals that really focuses on the music industry.
Mm-hmm.
Their reporting is that the independent music sector is the fastest growing music sector in 2020, and that it's eating the direct market share of the majors. Ooh. So to me, an independent is shifting slowly. Now it's growing. It's quite recognized. It's big business. But back in 1998, at least, and through the years, again, it's progressed. It really meant back in the day that you just weren't a major label artist. And what that meant was, if you were a major label artist, that meant they owned both your sound recordings and your publishing. Mm-hmm. And so the majors, you know, some labels that were smaller were just recording, you know, about the sound recordings and distribution of those. They frequently owned it, almost always owned it. Then there was the publishing world or your publisher. You needed a label and a publisher. The majors combined those, did really well, very successful, as we all know. And so that was really the old version of independent was you weren't at a major, you either make, you might have had a label that was distributing your album, but you owned your publishing, or you had a publisher, but you were self-distributing your album. But that's slowly shifted now to, gosh, I mean, you have, it's all shifting. The majors know that independent sector is growing. So they're signing artists that actually they're not acquiring their rights, mm-hmm. but they're letting some artists keep their rights or part of their rights or whatever those sorts of things are. You hear these things from Kanye or Jay-Z that like the smartest thing you can do is retain your rights. So it's kind of, it's shifting now. To me though, what an independent artist means is that you're not, you have some sense of autonomy or agency or ability to kind of control your own destiny, if you will. I definitely know a lot of independent musicians or artists who see themselves as independent, who are, you know, making a lot of money working with big organizations, but they still own their master or their sound recording rights or their composition rights or whatever that is. So it's shifting always. But CD Baby specifically, our concept of independent is very much that you own all your rights, and that somebody like CD Baby can help you distribute your sound recordings and maximize the royalties, or use our sister company Song Trust to clear all your publishing for you. Mm. But you're essentially doing it yourself. You might need a little bit of support to get it done, but you're in control. You own them. That's not going away. That's mostly what independent means to us these days.
Yeah, shout out to Song Trust. I got the opportunity to speak with Alex Gershwin a few months back, and he had some really great information about publishing and what they do. I didn't know that that was your sister company. That's interesting.
Yeah, it was really cool. We've actually been working with, so CD Baby back in, I mean, to your point, you said CD Baby is a one-stop shop.
Yes.
That's kind of our goal. We want it to be, we want independent musicians to just make music, focus on the music, come to us to take care of your distribution, your publishing. We also do, you mentioned it, the maybe before the DIY musician podcast. We just want artists to come to us, get everything they need, have everything taken care of, and then just go back out there and start making more music or whatever that is for them. So we started doing we've done sound recording world for a long mm-hmm. time, started mm-hmm. doing publishing maybe 5 or 6, maybe even more years ago than that. But as we started stepping into that space, we realized Song Trust is essentially doing for independent musicians or for independent songwriters what CD Baby is doing for the sound recording side. So yes. We actually have been partnered up for a long time. And it was only in the last couple of years that the holding company bought both, or now owns both sides. So
interesting.
We've been partnered up for a long time. So first smart step was starting to work with them. And then that introduced us to this whole other world of kind of bigger downtown world, which has been pretty nice.
Yeah, that's amazing. Now, I really want to dive into what it really means. No, not what it means, but the business side of being an indie artist. I know a lot of artists typically are creative, just naturally by default are creatives. But what I've noticed coming up, even before I even got interested in just being a coach for indie artists, was that artists get stuck in that creative side and they forget that the rest of the work is still not done. I mean, yes, recording is a part of the process. Being in the studio is a part of the process, but there's still that whole other side of things that have to be executed on. If this is something that you really want to take full time, if you don't, and it's just a hobby, then okay, cool. You know, it could, what happens in the studio, stay in the studio. And maybe if you decide you want to release it, then all right, fine. But if you take it serious, then you should be very interested in understanding the business side. So just in your opinion, how important is it to understand the business side as an indie artist?
Yeah, I think it's really important. Regardless of what your goals are as a musician, you need to understand some basic elements of what you're trying to spend some time in. And I've really kind of liked how you're trying to pick the right words about the significance of, you know,
you
know, some artists do just want to release music. Some artists are trying to make a living off of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, 10 years as being around at CD Baby, as long as I have, an independent musician myself, for as long as I have, it is shifting. The narrative used to be you had to be trying to be a full-time musician. Otherwise you're not a musician. And whether you're successful or not, you still had to grind really hard in order to just validate that your existence as a musician. Now you have people who are in their parents' bedroom who are releasing tracks every week on YouTube. They have millions of followers and the parents don't even know. They're probably still in high school. So the landscape has shifted of what it means. So myself, I'm probably not going to quit my day job to be a full-time touring musician, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean that I can't tour. That doesn't mean that I can't still enjoy the things that I love the most about being a touring musician. I love to perform, love to play live, love to get out of town, play for fans elsewhere. But ultimately, just getting back to your question of you need whatever your goals are. And for many artists, and I'm aspirational, hopefully someday my band is big enough that I can quit my day job. I don't want to throw out the negativity out there, but you need to understand the basics and ultimately what you're trying to do. If you're just trying to get your music up at Spotify and that's enough, and you hope a couple of friends and maybe fans who've seen you play live go listen to your music, there's some basics you need to understand for even that, because you can kind of cause some problems, get into issues. Maybe you didn't clear rights that you thought you had to, or you used a distributor that was actually using fake playlistings pieces that eventually gets your content removed and all these kind of different things.
Yeah.
But then from there, you have your basics and then you're just ratcheting up your level of intensity of your career. So it's like any artistic endeavor. If you just want to paint, just paint. If you want to do music, go make music and be heard. But if you want to start selling your art or getting monetizing your art, you're just incrementing your way all the way up further and further. And so once you're starting to deal with, I don't know, maybe $1,000, you got to understand a little bit more because you're dealing with different problems. $10,000, you need to know quite a bit more. $100,000 a year off of your music, you're probably getting into very, very professional decision-making around your music. And I'm around artists who make millions of dollars a year. And
yeah.
The stuff that they have to know about the industry, even though they have a massive team that does all this stuff for them, they still have to be very aware of what they're doing, know what they're doing. But I think that maybe that's another way to look at it is, and maybe the little secret of the industry is there are very few people who are truly out there doing it entirely on their own. even the DIYers, the artists who are signing up at CD Baby, whether it's just, you know, reading our blog articles or listening to your podcast, they're getting support. And it's not they shouldn't be ashamed or embarrassed of the fact that they need help to kind of go focus on the music, go focus on the art, just do that. Leave the business side or the distribution side or the mechanical collection side or whatever those things are to the experts who are out there. And so I know artists, again, who make quite a bit of money and everybody thinks they kind of do it on their own, but they have a whole team in the background, their manager, their publicist. Sometimes they hire those out or something like one at a time, depending on a tour or whatever. Or sometimes they have a longstanding relationship where it's essentially a little business. And I guess that's ultimately what I'm saying is every musician that's stepping in, getting their music at least up at Spotify or YouTube, they're a micro business, very small business. And then as that business scales, because there's more money or anything like that, you got to start paying attention to it like it actually is a business. You might have to start paying some taxes. You might have to start filing with your state. All these different things. I don't think you need to know everything. I think you can just be a musician.
Right.
As you're stepping in, you got to start paying attention to maybe what you don't know.
Yeah.
Find some really good advocates.
What's your advice to those that, because I've come across some really stubborn artists that don't want to commit to learning the business side of things, and they'd much rather hire people to fill certain positions. And I'm like half and half, like one foot in, one foot out with that, because I understand, you know, not wanting to know something and then having someone fill in and handle that responsibility for you. Totally get it. But then on the other end of it, it's like, well, you don't know much about something and you're giving someone the complete right to handle that specific objective or task. And sometimes that might work. Sometimes it might not.
Yeah. Let's see here. As a quick anecdote, I do these like the mentoring programs at like South by Southwest or whatever, these different music conferences out there. I'll just kind of sign up. And I don't know if anybody's ever aware, but frequently at music conferences, there's little like mentorship programs. At A3C this year, there's this little mentorship program you can kind of sign up as an artist for. So I volunteer at those and just kind of get an hour with an artist or whatever. So I also used to be an attorney. So I don't list myself as president of CD Baby. I list myself as an attorney or having experience in the entertainment industry around the legal side. So many artists, their first question is, how do I find a really good lawyer? How do I find a really good business manager? How do I figure out what's the difference between an agent and this and that? And it's like, okay, wait. Do you have a good product? Because don't try to figure out the business before you know really what you're trying to serve. So my music is decent. I really like it. We have some fans, all that sort of stuff. But it's not so good, or it doesn't resonate so well with fans yet. I'll get there. But it doesn't so yet that I'm like, I need to hire a lawyer. I'm basically at the, lemonade stand, apple stand level of kind of like, that's what my business is. Don't figure out all this other crazy stuff. But I also meet musicians who've toured less than me, are newer to writing songs, and they're writing stuff that's like, this is going to connect with people around the world. You gotta take care of yourself and protect yourself. So I guess what I'm saying is, don't put the cart before the horse when it comes to the pieces. Get the art done, get the creative juices out, get your songs in place, maybe play a few shows, and then go, okay, this is stuff that I really need to take seriously. Or maybe, you know what, we're just validating having beers with our friends. And then start thinking about like, how do you, what's the problem to solve, I guess, on an operational side.
There you
Really
go.
like, so you figure out what that is. And then if you do start having like, I need to hire some people or bring in some experts, when you don't know what it is, what I recommend, because this is what I did, because I did have some good experience with labels, got to those kind of echelons a couple of times where I was getting courted and those sorts of fun things. It was just reach, think of an artist in your local community that is maybe 2 or 3 years ahead of where you are. And just reach out to that person or that band or anybody who's in it. And just kind of, and I think another weird thing, this is always so funny to me. It's easy for me because it's extrovert, big energy. It's just easy for me to jump in and start talking to people. Some people, especially musicians, I don't know what it is. Their performance mode is like a mask. And then when they really like, they're a little bit more introverted, or they don't think it's okay to just go ask other artists things. But the artist that's probably 2 or 3 years ahead of you down the road, it's probably going to be really, I don't know. It's a huge compliment that somebody would reach out to you. So it's happened to me before. I didn't realize that I was really at that level. And then there were newer musicians who were reaching out saying like, hey, how did you book that venue? Or how did you find that publicist? Do you have a recommendation for me to find a publicist? And that's sort of like, that's what's cool about musicians. From my perspective, there are times when we compete and we want that show, or we want that whatever, and all those sorts of things, or my numbers look bigger than yours. I mean, sometimes people compete, but it really is kind of a community where you can say, where are you making most of your money these days? Is it Spotify? Is it YouTube? Is it Amazon? Where are you making it? Because I don't have a, or what is your marketing strategy for TikTok? Have you ever thought about that? It's totally appropriate to just ask an
Very,
artist. If
very.
they don't respond, whatever, maybe they're not in the real game. But I've never had a real like negative response from just asking an artist questions. Because again, it's kind of like a giant compliment. But again, thinking of it as, I was a young punk rock bass player in a punk band, and there was a big punk community in Portland of bands that had been around for decades longer than I had. And so just to reach out to them and say, hey, this was like MySpace days. I'd track them down, hit them up, and I'd say, hey, how did you play that venue? Or if would you think that I could ever open for you? Or could I take you out to lunch even? That's a good way to start getting an introduction when you start having to make business decisions when you've never really made them before. Just go ask some people that you think are doing it right, and they'll probably tell you.
You'd be surprised at what you would get by just reaching out to someone and asking a simple question. And if they don't answer it, like you said, no big deal. But, you know, they're not the first
There's and last person. There's plenty more that would love to answer.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not the first and last person. So you got to have that courage to ask, because sometimes that's what you have to do to get ahead. I mean, I've been there before plenty of times.
I don't know any musician who got there purely on their own. Yeah. Everybody needed some sort of network or resource or, you know, mentor or whatever those things are. That, I wish more people saw that the superstars that you're looking at, they didn't just figure it out. There were a lot of people before them that helped them get there.
Yeah.
And there's somebody out there for you, I'm sure.
Everyone wants to pride themselves on knowing it all and being self-made. And I understand it, but you know, the truth of the matter is that I don't really believe that exists. You know, we all, it's each one teach one, you know, everyone's at different experience levels in the music and just in life in general. So it's important to always want to be a sponge and soak up as much information as possible.
Yeah. And then Kareem, you're in like this position where, I mean, I just don't know if musicians see it like this, that you're in this position where you learned a lot over the years. You're bringing in guests and all this sort of stuff, but you know the right questions to ask. You lead your guests to the point where they're going to answer it a way that you already know they're going to. And here you are just sharing that knowledge with everybody else. Maybe that's indirect or, you know, passive sometimes, but it's just, that's what this community is. And back to the independent component, this is, there's generations now of independent musicians who had to do it that way, because the goal used to be, at least when I was in high school, I wanted to get signed to the same band label that No Doubt was signed to or whatever. And then they would take care of all those things for me, and I would just be a big superstar or whatever that was. But that never happened. I had to grind it out with all these other independent musicians, and we have more in common than really are differences. And so, yeah, we had to figure out how to get into these conferences. We had to figure out what size of passenger van, 15 passenger, 13 passenger, 12, what size of van should I buy? What gets the best gas mileage? All these things. It's this huge network. If you're an independent musician, you're a part of it. Everybody before us had to collaborate. And now they're, I just like that the vibe is still there. I just wish more artists understood that it's there and they can just reach out.
Well, you know, that's what we're here to do. Get them to get them to understand that. Now let's talk about labels for a second, because labels. What are the expectations of record labels today?
Yeah, they're all over the place. The number one rule of a label is almost essentially every label I know is they're immediately a business first.
Yep.
I know some great label heads that care very much and who are doing great things for our community and our society, but they have their content that they're releasing has to make money. And if it doesn't, there's no amount of friend of a friend or network or powered lunches or whatever that's going to let somebody stay, use resources of a label if it's not in a return on investment. Sometimes it's not, and they wait for this, you know, the sophomore release or whatever, the junior release, before it starts recouping, but it's always a business play. It's consistently a business play, because if I think I care and I want my community to do well and I want really good music to get out there, but I can't do that for the third or fourth or fifth artist if my first few artists don't really make money. So I guess that's the premise, at least, is you're immediately going into a business deal.
Yes.
Even if it's just your buddies, because if they don't recoup and make their money back, they're going to, they're not going to be able to stay in business and do the same successes that they just had with your first album.
Right.
So that's the first thing that I think some artists don't really get, is it's strictly business, and it gets strictly complicated business. Quickly.
Yeah,
it gets quickly. Complicated quickly because it's your buddies, and it was like, oh, I thought we were just like doing this cool thing, and I need another $1,000 to do this bit. It's like, this is like my money, and I'm what? So that first thing. The second thing is, when I think about businesses and what the deal is strictly business. And then they're trying to figure out how they can add value to what you currently have. Mm-hmm. So back to what we were talking about before, to be an independent musician or a DIY musician, I know a lot of artists who successfully take care of their management and their PR and their distribution, and they're able to do all those things. It's not very common that I see that, but some are able to. And so when a label comes to them and goes like, wow, they're the full package, they're able to do everything, I probably can't contribute anything to you. So you should go on your own, versus the label. I got to work with a number of labels over the years. The analysis that we're providing is that band is doing well, but this one little area that it could do a whole lot better in, I'm really good at. So let me go and contribute that. And then it'll take it from a really good band to an amazing band or superstar or whatever that is. That's the goal. So these artists who think that they're the be all end all of what you need to be as an artist, they probably don't need a label. Or there's no label out there who's going to go like, well, I can contribute that. I can help. It's a partnership for mutual benefit. So the main areas, though, where a label's really providing something valuable is cash. That's the main area. Cash first, and then some business sophistication about being able to understand, yeah, we probably need a publicist for this. We probably need a manager for that. You aren't good enough at handling the cash, so let's make sure that we have an accountant for you. Those sort of like business organization stuff. So cash first, artists always want it. Even well-paid artists can always use more cash. And then after that is like this business sophistication that the label's really providing. And I would say 20 years ago when I was trying to get into labels, I didn't have access to either of those. And you used to need a lot more cash back in the day. Now you can, from your laptop alone, from your phone alone, you can get good sounding content almost anywhere.
Right.
For within a week or so. It may be even less, but in my day, you had to buy tapes. You had to be able to afford a specific type of studio that invested a lot of money into the gear that they had.
It was expensive.
Yeah. And so the need for cash is, you used to have $10,000 for a recording. Otherwise, it probably wasn't going to sound good. And now it's like, why do you need cash from somebody? Especially if like you can just go to, ask your aunts and uncles to Venmo you something or whatever. I mean, it's just different what you need now. Right. So that's where labels, I think, are largely shrinking, is the need for cash is shifting. But the business sophistication isn't changing much. Right. Again, that's one of the goals for CD Baby, is that you can just come to our website. We'll take care of everything for you. We'll educate you on the things that we don't do, all that sort of stuff. But there's still, even at some point, if you're pretty good at that, if you go from making a few hundred dollars a year to thousands of dollars a year, things start getting tricky quickly, and it's really nice to have a team that's going to help you out with that stuff. So that's where I think labels are still contributing.
Yeah.
As it's shifting, labels are also starting to figure out that they have knowledge that you might not. What's a good example is, I'm in an indie rock math band, and I don't know. I like it. It's fun. It uses my brain, and I get to play the bass in all these cool ways. But there are labels that focus specifically on that genre. And what I've learned from them through talking is that they know they know where to market that music in the right territories, because Ethiopia absolutely loves math rock. And so we got to get your content promoted on Spotify in Ethiopia or whatever that is. Okay. It's different than just kind of like, just get it out there and see what happens. So they're helping you kind of find an audience in a way that still might be difficult.
Like snipers. They're very surgical with how they do what they do.
Yes. And I have to tour maybe the whole country before I find out that, Omaha loves me, but Fargo does not. And so I don't go back to Fargo. Gotcha. So the labels are able to kind of help you with all those sorts of things. And I think that artists can do it without labels.
Of course.
That's the thesis of CD Baby, is that you can do it yourself. But I'm not super critical of artists going, hey, the right move for me is that I start partnering up for mutual benefit with this other organization that does a lot of stuff that I don't. I can shoot, but I can't guard. So I need somebody on my team that's able to strengthen us both by doing the things that I can't. And so what I don't like is when a label says, sign with us and we'll make you a superstar. And there's no real thought about, how is this partnership going to benefit me? Or the artist comes to me at those mentorship things and like, what label should I sign with? It's like, What's your weaknesses? What do you need help with? Right. What's not working for you? What have you tried for the last year that isn't? That's when you should start going like, oh, Sub Pop will help with this, or you know, this local buddy's label he's trying to start up could help with this, or whatever those sorts of things are. But start first with what's the problem to solve?
Yeah.
And then I would assume most answers to that question are a label's not going to solve that.
Yeah.
Or at least you could probably solve it on your own, but yeah. There's good labels out there, and that's the other thing that's I really like. It used to be really cutthroat in that world, and now there's some great labels that are helping independent musicians. You used to have to sign your rights away. That's very uncommon.
Yeah.
The main deal, I don't know if I'm taking too long on all these answers, but
it's all right.
The main deal that I see these days for smaller artists who are maybe making less than $10,000 a year off of their music, is, hey, Kareem, I'm going to sign to your label. We need about $5,000 to record, make a release, and properly promote it. And so what we'll do is you'll put $5,000 in. I won't make anything for the first $5,000. So you fully recoup. And then from there, we probably split 50-50, whatever the royalties are. That's what I think is kind of the standard right now, or $1,000 or $250, whatever that is. Yeah. Whoever put the cash in recoups first, and then after that, they basically split it 50-50 is the default that I see. And then you start saying like, well, you know, I really need a lot more cash. If I'm going to go on tour, you can't get all the royalties for the until you recoup. Let's split it. Maybe there's reasons to kind of change that deal. But if it's much different than that without really understanding why, I think that's probably not a good deal. Yeah. You need to understand why it's different than that. And there are a lot of good reasons, but that's how I look at
it. It sounds very low pressure too, you know, in that situation you just gave. It's okay. You don't have to pay me anything back. Just go on, do what you got to do. Recoup what you need to recoup. And then from there, you know, we'll actually talk terms and negotiations. So it's like a great way to get you. And it's like a free trial. It's like when a company offers something for free. And then after for free, then comes the paid product. You know what I mean?
Totally. Because if it's not that, then why do they want to partner with you?
Yeah.
If they can't put cash down because they believe in you and they believe that they can add value, I don't think you're really trying to partner with me. I think you're trying to buy me or own me or something like that, as opposed to, Kareem, if you can't put cash down on the project that I'm working on, I don't think you really believe in it. So again, there might be reasons why something different than that is appropriate, but I would say that that's the default assumption for an independent musician these days, at least going into it.
Yeah. And I mean, I've seen like, you know, like, or at least when I first started this journey, like professionally, when I like literally first started, I was like, record labels? No. But then like the more that I started to learn and invest in my knowledge and understanding of, you know, where they stand in terms of this whole business, it's like, okay, they're not that bad. There's still resources that they have that, you know, your person coming up at that lemonade stand, you know, they don't have those resources yet. So, you know, they can provide value in that sense. But at the same time, you know, as a DIY artist, you know, you still need to educate yourself on the business side of things so that your negotiations with them actually make sense. And in that situation you gave, like as far as like the mentorship thing, you know, if someone were to come up to you and just say, well, what's the best label for me to sign up to? And then you start asking those probing questions, you know, that's a clear indicator that that person still needs to do a little bit more research. They probably need to go back to the drawing board and see, doesn't even make sense for them to be thinking that far yet. So I guess that really segues into my next question, is how can these artists better prepare themselves for the climate that we're in today?
there's a lot of ways.
I know what that gaze is.
Number one is just education.
Yeah.
Understand enough that you can ask good questions. I really like your approach to how you're both being a professional, Kareem, and how you're learning about the industry. Is just follow Kareem's example. Ask a lot of questions. And if you don't get the answers from here, they're out there somewhere. There's no magic mystery of the music industry. It's just business. talk to artists again who are 2-3 years down the road from you. Read the DIY musician blog, listen to this podcast, whatever those things are, to just educate. You don't, when you start hearing the same thing over and over, which you will, we've both been around long enough that you start sometimes hearing the same thing over and over.
Yeah.
Stop trying to learn about that. But you need to, you should still, I don't know, but if it's your hobby or your career, either side of it, put the relevant amount of effort into learning. So follow, what is it, the DIY Musician podcast or this one, and just kind of commit yourself to like every other week or something like that, I'm going to put an hour into educating myself on what it is. Yeah. And then once you understand like what you know and what you don't know, what makes sense to you and what doesn't make sense to you, then that's when you can start like building out, you know what, I hate this money stuff. I hate where royalties come from. Let me go find a partner to take care of that. And so I think that that's what's different about today than what it was 10 years ago, 20 years ago, is what information you can find right now about how the industry works is just crazy. So put the relevant amount of time, the appropriate amount of time. Don't doom scroll the music industry all day, but you know, put some dedicated time into your hobby, into your career to just learn it. And I think that that's the best way that you're going to prepare yourself for kind of the current climate. And again, learn new stuff. Once you start hearing enough about like, okay, here's how playlisting works at Spotify. Don't just keep, there's not new magical things about playlisting at Spotify. There's only little tweaks. Everybody's trying to do that stuff, but go learn about how, what's a Twitch strategy.
Yeah.
You know, like think about other places to go, engage yourself with like the new, what else is out there. But what's really cool about Twitch or Spotify or any of these places, all of them want the artists to be really successful at their platform.
Correct.
So whether it's this podcast or our blog or whatever, you can even go to those specific websites. So Spotify for Artists will tell you how to properly apply for like playlists. Correct. And all these different
pieces. Yeah. So the resources
or Twitch will tell you how to monetize properly because there's the right way. So yeah, I think that that's the best way, is just keep engaging in self-education.
Yeah,
focus on stuff you don't know, and that's the best way to prepare for the current climate.
Yeah, education is key. I think that that's a thing that like a lot of the clients that I work with, they, it's a very simple concept, but you'd be surprised how many people just, they just want the answers, you know. But sometimes, like you said, you may go a few places and not get the answer you want, and then it falls on you to do the research to find other areas to get those answers that you're looking for. And that's where the whole self-discipline has to come into play. And you have to be willing to seek that information that may not feel like it's readily available. Education is key in this business. I wouldn't know half the stuff I didn't know if I didn't just go looking for it. And, you know, there's tons of blogs out there, you know, like I religiously read the CD Baby blog because there's always tons of great information on there. You know, the information is there. You just have to consume it. Think about the current landscape of your business, your music endeavors, and think, okay, you know, these are some areas I struggle in. Sometimes this is just as simple as a Google search. Just type in what you're struggling with in Google, and Google might lead you down the right path. You got to be careful sometimes about what you read, but for the most part, if it's coming from a reputable source, like, you know, like CD Baby, or like you said, Spotify or something like that, then you can trust that that information that you're receiving is going to be current and up to date and still usable. Now, when you mentioned Twitch, it made me also think artists should really also probably be focusing on like music and tech is like a huge thing. If you think about how, you know, like from the very dawn of the business and how far we've come and how much technology has just warped, you know, how we even go about this entire business. I think like that's like a huge thing that artists should really be paying attention to, you know, like TikTok, you know, like look at what TikTok did to the business. You know what I mean? Like it just came and it just shook the whole industry, you know, like now you can literally break, you know, as an artist on TikTok. You know, whereas however many years ago before it existed, that wasn't even a thing. So, you know, just paying attention to what's happening and how things are moving and what platforms are growing these really large user bases and finding out why is this platform doing so well? And then thinking even further, like, how can I incorporate this into my marketing strategy? You know, I always say that about Instagram. Instagram's always updating, you know, whenever it updates and puts out a new feature, you know, how are you going to utilize this feature? Because one, when they put out a new feature, they usually put priority on that, i.e. Reels. You know, so if they're putting priority on it, then it's important for you to know how to incorporate that in your business. You know, the just in business in general, even outside of music, if you can't keep up with tech, unless you have some type of, there's some unique thing that's going on in your situation that can't be found anywhere else, you're going to fall behind. You're going to fall behind. That's just a fact of the matter.
So, the way that I put it often is that the music industry is synonymous with the tech industry. You can't have the music industry without tech right now. You can go play live, all that sort of stuff. I'm not discrediting you, that you can find loopholes in it, but the billions of dollars that are going into the industry right now are largely in products, sometimes in live performances, but it's heavily into this streaming side, the digital side, the audiovisual side, all those pieces, and even the live stuff. A huge part of the money is coming from places like Ticketmaster, which are doing digital tickets, let alone digital performances. And so it's just going to continue to technologicalize, I think is the term. the music industry is synonymous with tech. It just is what it is. Music companies need CTOs, chief technology officers. It's just how it works these
it's
days.
Just I mean I know it's a hard thing to explain. It's just the way it is, you know, like the two really, it's hard for the two to not exist. And you know, the reality of the situation is if you want to have some longevity and take advantage of what's going on in the tech space right now. Now I know you're still making music right now, which is pretty dope. I know you have a lot of ups and downs in this journey, and you've seen a lot. And I always say that a very important thing in this journey is accepting your wins and acknowledging your wins too, but you also can't acknowledge that without overcoming failure. How do you deal with overcoming failure or just even challenges that come your way?
My business side of running a music company and also my personal side with being in bands, I find failure at first, you know, it's a gut blow, and I just try to accept it and embrace that feeling will pass. It always does. But once I can really start digging into the failure, why I failed, how I can prevent that failure from happening again, failure is a fantastic gift to really play around with and learn from. And so, again, I try to embrace the gut blow, know that those feelings will pass, and I'm excited to finally start breaking down, like, why didn't this work? Why were there, like, we drove for hours to a show that there's four people. What was the breakdown there? I thought we had, like, a following in this town. And then to start looking into like, okay, well, this is a good shot across the bow of like, I need to take this part more seriously. Yeah, it was a given. For some reason, it's not, all those sorts of things. There was this weird phase in Portland where our band went from playing for maybe 40 people, all of them people we knew, mostly the other bands that we were opening for and all this kind of stuff. And then suddenly one day it just went up to like 200 people. We had a 200 or 300 person guarantee here in Portland. And it was just like, we don't know what we did to make that happen. And now as that band is over and we've moved on, I'm like, I wish I knew how that happened.
Yeah.
How I could make it happen again. But the failure, I know how to fix all the failures and prevent the failures from happening again because I walked through that. And so that's where like, I think failure is like the really powerful stuff. Because when great things happen, it's not always because you did something. And it's always going to be like, I wish I could make it happen again. I've been waiting for it to stop happening again. But if there was a failure and you figured it out and you were able to work through it, you're going to be able to use that process over and over and over again, and it's never going to happen again, or you're going to minimize the impact of that failure moving forward. So to me, I actually, as a business, as the head of a business, I really appreciate the value that failure can bring. And again, as an independent musician, I'm like, how did I get that guarantee? I would love those people. How did that happen? It just came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And it was pretty consistent. But yeah, it's a really good gift. It's a good thing to process through. I also accept that it's just like inevitable.
That's true.
And it's just the scale. And sometimes the things that didn't work out, I wasn't accepted for this show. I thought I was going to get on this conference and it didn't end up working, or this festival, or those different things. You know, it didn't work out. I guess the other thing that I learned from being a starving touring musician was those are just a dime a dozen. And I used to really take them personally and think that it was kind of like my own personal failure. That
yeah, you'll out. Do that. It'll happen.
But it's, you just said it. I mean, we're both resonating on this point is just to, I wish more artists knew that that's just part of the industry. Mm-hmm. It's exactly. Everybody's exactly. Kind of competing to be able to do their art professionally. And so when things don't work out, it's not personal. It's part of the gig.
Right.
It's part of the industry.
Yes.
It happens. Good luck next time type stuff.
And sometimes you're going to get 10 no's before you get a yes. And that's just the reality of the situation. But even when you get those no's, try not to just leave it at the no's. Try to break down and reverse engineer why you got the no. And then when you reverse engineer why you got the no, you extract the key points out of that. And then you figure out, okay, well, this is where I went wrong with this. Let me focus on how to improve that. And then that's where we double back into our talk about education, because sometimes that's where the education piece kicks in, because maybe, you know, you really don't know the answer on how to improve on that thing that you need to improve on. Well, if you can't get the answer from a person right away, well, then the next best thing to do is to educate yourself in that thing and then start to reintroduce it into your situation and see if there's some improvement, if there's any way you can measure it too. You know, which is why like data is super important. That's a whole nother topic for a different day. But that's why data and analytics are really important, because those are measurables that'll allow you to track the progress of if a certain objective is working or if it's not improving. So,
yeah, I like the way that you put the roadmap to it. This is what you should do. So everybody listening, rewind, listen to it again, and laid it out for you. The only little thing that I would stress in there is it's hard to, I know it's hard to do that when it's your art.
Yeah,
and it's when something is, it feels personal.
Very
it's really different than my business strategy didn't work out. It's like, I put this thing out there, I'm making myself vulnerable. It's my heart.
Yep.
It's so important to me. And then to be rejected and then go through that path is just kind of like, it's not personal. It's how the industry works. Try to let that part of it pass quickly is helpful. And then get to that roadmap that Kareem just laid out. That's the way to do it for sure.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You definitely are going to take a blow because it does feel very personal. I mean, like you said, you know, artists are out here being transparent and vulnerable to their music just to get rejected. And I know that hurts. I know it hurts.
It happens. It happens. For every big opportunity, there's 10 artists, 100 artists, 10,000 artists that didn't get it. And so there's a lot of burn that happens in our industry. It sucks, but
it's just the nature of the beast.
Just nature, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, as you already know, or if you haven't caught it by now, I'm a huge proponent of CD Baby. I like everything that you all are doing at CD Baby, and I like the innovation, and I like the support, and it's just all around an awesome resource. But more specifically, what other helpful resources, like outside, of course, the blog, you know, the podcast, of course, but I know when I do listen to the blog, they do mention some tools and stuff that are up there for artists. What are some tools, like some really cool tools that you think would be helpful for artists to know about? And you can name three, whatever comes to mind.
Sure. The biggest one for me is one that I started using and it's helping me. is the release plan generator. So it's really, it's pretty simple, but it is powerful stuff. You just, so here's what happens is an artist is going on this path and they say, I'm just going to release this next album and this next track and get it out there. And then it gets up at Spotify and then they go, now what should I do? And then they go to the blogs, they go to your podcast and they go, oh, all this stuff that I should have been doing that I should have done before it was released. So your pre-ads at Spotify and Apple, maybe get or your pre-saves, your pre-ads at Spotify and Apple, maybe getting some digital ads or some press in advance, reaching out to your email list or your community or your fan base in advance to kind of pump it. All that kind of stuff you need to have done in advance. So CD Baby finally published this thing called the Release Plan Generator. You just type in a couple of bits of data, like your planned release date, and it basically just reverse engineers and says, this is when you do your, this is when you tell your fans this, have your artwork ready by this time. And it's just like, it's really designed off of what we know managers, expensive managers tell their artists. So, and it's free. You just go to, I think it's CD Baby Release Plan Generator. .com. I got to remember where it is, but I use it. It's really powerful stuff. So that's a big one. Time management for independent musicians. If we could make more tools that did that, I think we're on the right course. We also have this thing that's also powerful stuff that I'm starting to learn quite a bit around. It's called the Ad Builder. Okay. So if you go to show.co, so S-H-O.
I've heard them talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah, there's the, that's where you do your pre-saves. That's where you do, you know, your email lists and all those sorts of things. Most of those tools are free. We also have this ad builder product that basically lets you do digital ads for artists. So when you're at Spotify and you hear the, you know, if you have a free account or something like that, sometimes you'll hear ads between the songs, or you'll go to a website and you'll just kind of see some banner ads. Mm-hmm. You can do those things largely through Google ads or Facebook ads, but it's really targeted or limited in certain areas. It's also really easy to use those tools at Google and Facebook and spend a lot of money and not really get the results that you want, let alone the data that tells you how it works. It's powerful stuff for really sophisticated, experienced individuals, not sophisticated, just experienced individuals. Yeah. Ad Builder at show.co is if you have $200, even $50, you can create a digital ad campaign. But it's more like signing up at CD Baby. We walk you through it very, there's a lot of support. It's very intuitive of how it works. Everything's explained, as well as you just kind of have these sliders of, I want this many people to listen to it. Here's what my budget is, this sort of thing. And then it kind of calculates and set, and does all the little fine tuning that those other places you have to do yourself. You can just do there very easily. And you can do really inexpensive campaigns. I say 200 is probably the right amount to look at. Also look at your release plan generator. It'll probably tell you when you should start getting into that space.
Nice.
But artists are having some huge results from those sorts of experiences. I put some in to specifically Spotify not too long ago, and that helped out quite a bit. There's two more. I also know that we're getting close to time. So what a...
Go ahead, spit them out.
What's another big one? So there's this Here Now. Our Here Now product, so herenow.com, it's basically smart links, which are those things where, you know, back in my day, you'd play a show and you'd be up on stage and you'd say, hey, buy my CD in the back. And it was really easy. Now I go up there and I say, hey, we're on Spotify, we're on this place, we're on that place, we're on, go try to find my music after you've been drinking all night and you get home and they're tired. So it's like, how do I get them to it? So the industry standard are these things called smart links. Instead of telling people go to Spotify, you say go to this smart links page that links out to whatever platform the person wants to use. That's industry standard. But Here Now does smart links and actually does a few more places than a lot of others do. But you can buy your CD off of there. You can do these different things. You can kind of link out to other places than just the DSPs, as well as what's really nice is we have a platform on the back end where you can see all that user data. You can see where they came from, what website they went to, what, you know, you collect some of their email addresses
That's
sometimes.
That's the big piece. That's the big piece.
Yeah,
That's
build your audience there through that here, through CD Baby's Here Now, smart links, and pretty powerful stuff there as well.
Yeah. Okay. Very nice. No, those are some really good ones. Yeah, no, that release one, that sounds like a game changer. Because I'll tell you, and when I first, like I said, when I first started this, I was big on strategy calls. So I think in 1 year, I did like well over 100 strategy calls with artists, all different types of artists. But before they got on the call, I made them fill out a questionnaire about where they felt like they were struggling the most or needed the most help. And it was always the release process. It was always the release process. I think that's like the number one between that and how do I find fans or something along that line.
Cut through the noise. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are always the two most frequently asked questions that I always get. So having a tool like that sounds like pretty, pretty interesting. I'm going to go personally check it out when I get a chance and see how it works out. Probably throw some stuff in there.
I'm excited. It is super useful.
Yeah.
It's not difficult. It's pretty, it's sounds simple, but powerful. Yeah. But we're going to continue to iterate upon it because we're getting feedback. It's a really well-used tool helping artists, and we're getting feedback on how to make it better.
Oh, that's a great deal. So yeah, we are at our peak right now. But I do, looks like there is a question, if you don't mind taking one question.
No, not matter. At all.
Okay, it looks like my good buddy Loretta here asks, does CD Baby offer a way to view which streaming platforms that your streams are coming from? But that would be kind of related to the link that you were talking about, right?
Oh, I would say even before that. So that will definitely help.
Yeah.
So if you have a fan who wants to listen to your music or you're posting a link somewhere, send them to the smart links and that'll get them to Here Now, and that'll get them to the right place if that's what you sign up for.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, anytime your music streams through and gets reported back to CD Baby in your royalty accounting dashboard, very robust, you'll be able to see where it came from, the date, how much you're getting paid for the royalty.
Nice.
Also, frequently, depending on the platform, we'll tell you what type of listener it was. So if you look at the Facebook, so if you're looking at a Facebook royalty, it doesn't just say that it played there. It says, there's a lot more data within it, a very robust. I actually think it's more robust than any of our direct competitors. I don't want to say that our direct competitors don't provide similar data, but CD Baby is known for industry standard of having the most robust data and reporting. So you can see in each one of those lines, this was a paid subscriber at Spotify, or this was a, this or that. The other thing is if you want more, even more data around that for analytics of sources, I would say CD Baby can help with some of it, but really make sure that you're signing up for Spotify for artists, Amazon for artists, and all the other platforms that are doing that. So go create one of those accounts, claim your music, and then you can see that somebody's listening to your music on this playlist out of Austin or something like that. Really powerful stuff. CD Baby helps. Go spend some time in your royalty reporting, but make sure you're signing up for Spotify for artists, Amazon for artists, et cetera. The AMP program at Pandora. iTunes has a great, or Apple Music has a great product. Just those things will give you even more robust data than even we can provide.
Yeah, data is gold. I mean, when I think back on it, how much I actually rely on data, a heck of a whole lot. I mean, that's how I make a lot of my biggest decisions with if I want to release like a new digital product or I want to incorporate some type of new service into what I've got going on. It's always about data. And I always get told a lot, wow, you know just what to say, or you know just what to do, or you know just what to create. And, it's not by, the angels whispering in my ears while I'm sleeping.
Yeah, it's not luck. Right.
I pay attention to what's going on in very great depth, and I'm always testing, I'm always optimizing, I'm always putting something out there. At this point, I expect failure. I expect, some rejection. I have it happen to me too. And, I just learn from that. And, I carry on from there and move on to the next step, knowing what lies ahead of me. And it's cool because I don't expect for things to come quick. And I think that's like super key in this business for artists too, is just understanding it's not gonna come fast. This is not a sprint. This is not a sprint by no means. This is a marathon, and you have to hold on by any means necessary. And guaranteed, you will get to your goal. That consistency is going to allow you to get to your goal. It's almost inevitable. So those are my final words. I also want to extend this thank you to Joel for just being here and, you know, spreading his knowledge and giving his expertise and just lending out his time. Joel, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. I was telling everybody that this interview for me was like getting down, getting a chance to sit down with LeBron or something like that. You know, like that's what it meant to me, man. You know, so it's like,
those are big compliments. Thanks so much for that. I'm an independent musician. The pursuit is righteous to me.
Yeah, nice.
Glad that you're out there. We're like-minded kindred spirits. You're trying to help artists. I want to help artists. We're both in a privileged position to be able to do that.
Right.
Let's learn from each other. Thank you so much for having me. Let me know when I can come back. Already looking forward to it.
Nice. So there you have it. That was the interview between the president of CD Baby, Joel Andrew, and I. I hope that you really, really enjoyed it. There was definitely a lot of gems dropped in this episode. I would imagine if you had the ability to take notes, you probably took a lot of them. I know I surely would. Now, let this be a reminder to make sure that you take the release readiness quiz. You don't want to goof up on your next music release. You don't have to. The resources are there and available for you. It's a quiz. It's a link in my bio. It takes 4 minutes. I don't even think it takes four. It probably takes like two. I don't know. But either way, it's mad easy, and it's absolutely insane to not take it, you know, if you have new music coming out. So there's that. And make sure you check out the Zero to Indiepreneur Club. I'm telling you, there's nothing quite like it. This community, this concept that I have, this vision that I have is nuts, okay? Anyone that I have mentioned it to is literally like, yo, do it and hurry up and get me, find a way to get me in. So I'm inviting you to it. I'd love to see you there. I know we can all do this together because let me tell you something. Independent does not mean alone. And with that, I'm out, y'all. Be safe. I'll see y'all in the next episode.